we're going to have to move it, because it's over five columns in my Bible, what I'm going to read. I'm going to read all of Genesis chapter 24. And, you know, I wish I could put it on 1.5 speed. It would be good. But maybe I'm already at 1.5 speed. So Genesis chapter 24, it's a great story. We went through the first 9 verses last week, but I'll read those so you get the full context, and then I'll really begin to preach, begin in verse 10. So let's begin Genesis 24. Here, I'm going to beg you to hang in there. It's a story. It's a narrative. Where you're going to struggle, don't struggle just because I suggest this, is that this servant, who many believe it's Eleazar, we're not sure, but it could be if he's still alive, and he was the servant prior, I think, in Genesis 15, of Abraham, that was the eldest servant. Remember when Abraham was like, who's going to be my heir? Is it going to be my elder servant, Eleazar? But we don't know. The Bible doesn't name him here, but it very well could be. But this is Abraham sending his servant to go find Isaac a wife. And what happens is there's repeats in this chapter because Eleazar, or whoever the servant, repeats how God blessed. So hang in there. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 says this, "And Abraham was old and was well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Verse 4. But thou shalt go unto my country and unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, unto Abraham, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land." Understand this. It's about 500 miles if you do a straight line, but it's about 900 miles the way they would travel in during this time. So that's quite a long trip, right? So I calculated this. What if she's not willing to come? It came by camel, right? So I don't know. I couldn't find anything, but I think 15 miles sounds like a good day for a camel, right? And so if you do 15 miles a day, it's going to be 60 days journey. 60 days journey, right? That's a long time. So he asked this question very legitimately, right? Not only is it 60 days, but 60 days on a stinking camel, right? But peradventure, verse 5, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. Verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. City of Nahor there is there's not a city called Nahor, but it's the city where Nahor lived. That would be Abraham's brother. So if you're wondering, that'll help clear that up. He went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. Ur of the Chaldees is really, it's in southern Iraq, so near Babylon, if you're wondering. So he went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor, verse 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So I will give a little commentary as I'm going, because it's just impossible for you guys to handle 64 verses, and I'm not going to talk about whatever I'm giving commentary on. So he's in the city of Nahor. He's there. He's made this, if it's a 60-day trip or however long it is, he's there. And so he makes his camels kneel down and at the evening time when the women go out to draw water. So he is looking for a woman, right? And so it's interesting how that. And he said, look at verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. So he prays. We're going to talk about this prayer. I'll try not to give commentary right now. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. I just paused there because I'm not going to necessarily focus on that, but I may mention it. But you got to love this servant. He didn't have any hesitation to bow and worship the Lord right when God blessed him. And I mean, he is just thrilled. I mean, he arrives, what looks like, it's sort of like, you know, I've driven long trips before, and it's like, and he puts the camels up, you know, and it's just, God blesses. The night he shows up, that's the way it appears, he's gonna see if he's gonna go fishing. Wife fishing, right? And he asks the Lord to bless him in certain ways. We'll talk that. But here this beautiful young lady comes up, and sure enough, she is of the kin of Abraham. And he just bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. You just got to love that. He just had no hesitation, and he worshiped the Lord. Verse 27. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things." Verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. So if we had sound effects, you might hear, dun, 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 dun. You know, I'm not a Laban fan. Okay? So always remember, it's Rebekah's brother. And no doubt flowing through their blood was what caused Jacob to be who he was. And Jacob was still responsible for his behavior. But Laban gave him a run for his money later. So let's read verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out into the man, unto the well. So let me just give you this. This is just background. Her dad is Bethuel. He's alive. But he leaves the bargaining up to Laban. You'll understand that later in Genesis. And so you would think Laban's running the show here. And maybe by the permission of Bethuel, because he shows up later. But Laban shows up, and you'll notice this. And it came to pass, verse 30, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands. He's interested now. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord." I don't know if Laban's going to be in heaven, but I need to be nicer to him. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord." It seems phony to me. "Wherefore standest thou without?" You can't find anything phony about that in Genesis 24. I know what Laban becomes. Just like Jacob. And Jacob was lost at the time. I think he was interacting with Laban as well, but another day. Verse 31, and he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." Maybe he's just Mr. Hospitality, maybe. Verse 32, and the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." And he said, "I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath." That's a pretty impressive introduction. "I'm coming representing a rich man, and the son that I'm coming to find a wife for, he gets it all." It's a what he basically said. Verse 37. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Verse 41. Then shalt thou be clear from this mine oath, and when thou comest to my kindred, and if they will not give thee one, thou shalt be clear from mine oath. Verse 42. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God. So he's repeating, so just this will be a refresher. O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper the way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I will put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, hey, look at him. He worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. You got to love this. He was not hesitant to immediately give glory to God and humble himself, and he bowed himself to the earth. That was one long trip for him, wasn't it? So he was just thrilled. I'm telling you, we should be ready to praise God, ready just humble ourselves before people when God's just been good to us. Verse 53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. You got to love the trust that Abraham had. This guy starts distributing the gold and the silver and the raiment to Rebekah and Laban and the mother, right? Verse 53, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, you know, this is a little hint of what Laban will be. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least ten, after that she shall go. God, love this servant. He said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. I'm telling you, I think he went out to pray. It wasn't just I'll pause there because I'm not going to preach on that. You know, there's a difference in Far Eastern meditation and biblical meditation. We are encouraged to meditate. Far Eastern meditation says empty your mind and then whatever comes in is fine. The Bible says meditate, fill your mind with the truth of God's word and meditate on that. But the devil says the exact opposite. So what I think Isaac was doing, he was filling his mind with truth and he was going to meditate on the truths of God, and he was there to pray and talk to the Lord. So just, we get so many images of meditation from our stupid example today. I need to be nicer. What's a better way to say it? From the misdirected example today. You want to meditate, fill your mind with the truth of God's word, then meditate on that. not what they'll teach today. And Isaac, verse 63, went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that she had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother's Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Title of the message, this is the way to find a spouse. Just kidding. Obeying the master. There's just the main character in this story, true account, is the servant. And he goes to find a wife, and it's for Isaac and then Rebekah, and they have Jacob and Esau, but it's the servant. I say the title message, Obeying the Master. This is interesting. You might not have noticed, but in this chapter, the word master occurs 22 times. That's a ton in just one chapter. Now you're like, that's a long chapter. You know, so you've got your Bible reading caught up for today. Here's what Spurgeon said. He said, the phrase my master is the refrain of the chapter. The word master occurs 22 times. He thinks it's Eleazar. Eleazar did not aspire to any independence of Abraham or of Abraham's son. His thoughts were of his master. His words were in praise of his master. His deeds on behalf of his master. He was not his own, but the bondservant of another. This is also our position. And it's going to be really the view that I want us to look at through this chapter is this servant. What can we learn from this servant? I think there's much we can learn from Rebekah as well. But what can we learn from this servant? Because I think he has qualities that you and I would benefit from if we served our master the way he served his master. Let's look at verse 12 through 15 in this prayer. Let's read it again. He says, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. He's asking for God's blessings and show me kindness unto my master Abraham. No issues so far. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. No problem so far. You can tell I'm going to have a problem. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my sister. And so I want you to see this here. So I hear people do this all the time. I don't know if they're not well-meaning. Just because the Bible gives us an illustration like this, does that mean that's the way you should pray, Joe? I'm a little uncomfortable. I'm telling you, just because God blessed and gave him the answer of that prayer, does that mean he was right to ask? I'll tell you this, what I recommend for everybody, do not bargain with God. That would in essence be as close to a vow that you can get. The Bible says, don't vow a vow unless you intend to keep it. And you should be very cautious. So I tell you this, that God is so good. Now, let me give this servant a little bit where he says this. Look at verse 14. He said, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels also. Let the same be. He's asking, would you let it be? And he does have a little hesitation. Look at verse 21. I'm trying to give this guy benefit of the doubt, even though... And he says, and the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So she did what he prayed, and he still had some questions, and so it wasn't finalized until she said, I'm related to Nahor. I am of Abraham's household, right? So here's my point with this prayer, the servant's prayer. You'll hear people just use this all the time. I just went blank on the example I heard this week. Because somebody did it in the Bible, that means that's the way you should do it. No, I'm telling you, we should seek the Lord's will. What should we seek? We should seek truth from Scripture. And I'm just telling you, I don't think we should... I would not recommend praying like this. That's what I'm telling you. He recommended this because The devil's just as interested in fooling you. You need to be led by truth. God blessed. But I don't think this is not how he'd recommend it. It says, Lord, you remember Judges 17, how badly that turned out. When he said, he made a vow that said, the first person that walks out of my household, I will sacrifice them unto the Lord. And who walked out of the house? His daughter. Now, then what you do is you repent of an evil vow and you take the consequences of not performing a vow, if there were going to be any, but you don't perform an evil vow just because, you know, the Bible says, well, you know, if you vow a vow, then you must keep it. He was foolish, right? He was foolish. So all I tell you is, I'm fascinated. I love this prayer. I love how God was super gracious and merciful and accelerated him finding the wife for Isaac. But there's nothing in this passage, nor do I see it in the Bible, that says that's how you should pray. Lord, you know what we need to do is we need to seek the word of God. You understand this? What did this servant not have? He didn't have any scripture. And so you need to seek the Lord. And so I just love the Bible. It says that. But then I want you to see, look at God's delivery. And this to me is just fun in verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Abraham's home. But look at this. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out. It reminds us of Isaiah 65:24 that says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I want you to understand this, that, you know, it is, and it is fresh on my heart, right? Fresh on my heart. But it's also for you, right? Anybody in this room, you say, hey, I want to be married, right? God will take care of it. God will take care of it. So, oh, I wasn't asking a question, right? Thank you, Noah, for that hand. But God will take care of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, the question that I would look at is, are you doing what God would have you to do? And this servant was. You're going to see later, and I'll steal a little thunder, when it said, the servant being in the way. Look at verse 27, maybe I won't have to preach it later. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He was doing what God had told him to do. He was in the way of the Lord. The Lord says this, you walk in my ways and I'll take care of everything else. He was in the way, doing the work of God, and God just blesses even before he finished his prayer. I want us to have confidence with that. I want me to have confidence with that. I want to remember that. I want to know the promises of God. I want to stand on the promises of God, and I want to know what God's told us to do, and I want to be faithful in doing that, so that if it doesn't happen in the speed that I want, that I will be faithful because he's so clear what he wants me to do, and God will bless. He will. Are you doing the work of God? Well, if you're not, then you're going to require his mercy to bless you in this way. But if you do seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he will bless you. He will encourage you. He will take care of what you can't take care of. I'll tell you this today. And so, is my wife in here? There she is back there. So, I know, TMI. But was that a signal? No, it wasn't. Your lips were chapped. So Abby was by today, and I asked her. I straight out asked her. I said, Abby, you won't marry this guy if he's not saved, right? Well, I thought I knew the answer. And she said, I don't know. And the I don't know meant, what did I don't know mean? Yeah, probably. And I told her, I said, well, it's sin. And I said, it is crystal clear in the Bible. And I said, God would not have you to do that. And you think you're smarter than God. And I said, Abby, you can trust God to deliver. But if you're not walking with God, then you don't trust him. You can trust God. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. I'm telling you, you pursue the Lord, you delight in him, And I'll tell you this, if he'll change your desires, you don't have to compromise Scripture. You don't have to try to find somebody that'll say, well, it's not. Because I asked her, I said, has anybody given you counsel that says this is okay? I don't know if she told the truth, right? But she said, well, one of the guys at her church said that it's not crystal clear black and white, but he goes, but he did sort of say, how can you ignore this? Not crystal clear black and white. He says, what light, what fellowship hath light with darkness? He says, be not unequally yoked, unbelievers with believers. That ain't gray. And so, look, I'm telling you this. I'm experiencing it in my own life, and I want to preach to my own self. Where am I? Where am I trying to? And so, you know, I can do that in ministry. What I need to do is I need to walk with God. I need to commune with God. I need to abide in Christ, and I want to be doing the work of God. But better not be ahead of that. It's easy for me to come down hard, right? But then I have to look in the mirror and say, what am I trying to manufacture, Joe, that I don't believe God's going to do it? And I need to remember that with every Bible study I have. I want to have zeal. I want to have passion. But my zeal and passion isn't going to open their heart. The Word of God is. And I want to teach it with clarity. I want to teach it with passion. I want to teach it with expectation. But that's God's work. And so I ask myself, where am I not trusting the Lord to deliver for me? God will deliver for you. But here's the key. Most people that claim Christianity today are not in the way. They're not pursuing God with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul, and they think they're going to get all the blessings that the Scriptures talk about. I'm sorry, you're not. And it's not because God's being a prude or just being a jerk. Blessings follow obedience. And so I tell you that to say, so many Christians are acting like God let them down, and they're not even engaged in the work. Be engaged in the work, where you have no idea how you can even think about, you know, whatever. And God will take care of you. He will take care of you. God will deliver. And do you love that verse in Isaiah? Just look at it again. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. I love that verse. And while they're speaking, I will hear. God is just, he delights in blessing us. He delights in helping us. But I will tell you this. This servant was in the way. He was doing what the master told him to do. And he was doing it with zeal. We'll see all that, right? I wonder sometimes, because it says, you know, how decrepit that Abraham looked in chapter 24. Apparently, Abraham's not as decrepit as we thought in chapter 25, but we'll get there next week. But it is, so he's thinking, I got to get with it to get back home. If he's been gone 60 days, he's got a 60-day journey. You know, he's going to be gone 4 months, right? That's a long time when end of life. But he was doing the work of God, trust God with delivery. Then what I love is this. The servant ran to Rebekah. I find this interesting, verse 16 and 17. I do love his prayer. His prayer wasn't focused on her appearance. But I wonder if his running was. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. Just in case you didn't know what a virgin was, you got to love the Bible. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And it's fascinating, right? It is. Now, I think there are some pictures of this. I'm not going to go into this incredibly, but there are some pictures about a bride, right? And the beauty of Rebekah. And the bride of Christ is his church. You know, the Bible says this, that God wants his bride to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I was surprised. I didn't realize this. You know, the Bible doesn't say there's a lot of beautiful women in the Bible. Here's the beautiful women in the Bible. Sarah, Rachel, in addition to Rebekah, Abigail, Bathsheba, Tamar, Queen Vashti, Esther, and the daughters of Job. Those are the only ones that say they were beautiful. It's interesting that it's not his prayer, but he runs to her. And the reason I highlight that, the servant ran to Rebekah, he had a job to do, and he did it with enthusiasm. Nassim, that's what we were talking about today. Oh, that we would have the zeal of the Lord and not just go through the motions, but do it with passion, do it with delight, do a little sprinting. And he ran to Rebekah. This is after a long journey. And if this is Eleazar, he's up there too. If he's the eldest servant, he's still Eleazar, he's an old guy too. And he runs to her because he has a job to do and he's focused on the job. You got to love the enthusiasm of this servant of the king. Are we running for the kingdom of God, or are we just kind of nonchalant, just strolling? I think the kingdom of God would benefit if half the Christian was just stroll. I think they're in neutral and not going anywhere. But I love this. He ran to her. He ran to Rebekah. Then what I want you to see is Rebekah's work ethic. I think it's pretty incredible. I just think, look at this. And he asked her for a little water. Verse 18 to 22, she said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they are done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And so she had an amazing work ethic, right? So a camel, I looked this up, can drink up to 20 gallons of water. He had 10 camels. That's 200 gallons. And so how many trips did she make? And you know, it's this. God established his bride, the church, to serve. We need to have a work ethic that says we go over and above. It's one of my favorite passages. You just remember when Jesus fed the 4,000, the Bible uses the term, and over and above. They had, you know, the 7 baskets and the 12 baskets, the different 4,000 and 5,000. Over and above. God goes over and above. God does over and above. He does more than we can even ask or think. And Rebekah, and I believe this, as a church, right, as a church, as servants of the Lord, we ought to go over and above. We ought to be a little radical, a little radical. And I want to do radical, and I want to do it privately, and I just want to be a little crazy. I am married, and so it's good. It's good. So my wife worries about me every once in a while. So it's good. Being married is good. So I ask her, and she's always like, "No, I don't think so." But it's only because it's just. We have different gifts. You got to understand that. So she's not a no person. Deb's always supportive. But over and above, we ought to be servants of the king. And Rebekah, I'm just telling you, what quite a woman that just was there to serve a stranger. There to serve a stranger. I talked about verse 27. We'll read it, and then I've already commented. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And so the servant was in the way. And then I highlight this again. It's the enthusiasm. Look at verse 28. "And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things," right? I want to go back. I just want to make sure I remember. He hadn't told her that he was looking for a wife yet, right? She just, he hadn't, I'm pretty sure. You guys can, I've read this so many times this week, and so I'm like, I'm cross-eyed, remember where it's at. And so he just asked who her father's house is. He asked her for the water, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord," let's see in verse 27, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And she was excited and she ran. I just tell you that it's a beautiful thing. I want you to look then at verse 33. We're going to jump down past some of this. So he, you know, we talked about him coming into contact with Laban, and Laban says, "Oh, come in." And I've got this one. How many of you have Takarta Bible app? Listen to Takarta Bible app on Genesis 24. I think they nailed it on Laban's voice. He sounds like a crook. And so, just that's a freebie. So I'm hearing him, and he's like the guy in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, the long nose guy, "Children." And so that's kind of what he's like. And verse 33. So he's had this long day. He has his animals taken care of, and Look at verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. You just, so what I want to tell you is the servant was focused on the mission. He was focused on the mission. Listen to what Spurgeon said. Like every true servant of Christ, he put his master's business before his own ease or comfort, even before the question of necessary food. When a man begins to think more of his eating than doing of than doing the will of God, he ceases to be a true-hearted minister. That's a low bar, too, right? But he said, I'm not going to eat. I'm here for a mission. You know, there's distractions all over the place. Would it be wrong to eat? I don't think it would have been wrong to eat. But he was focused. He had his priorities right. And he said, you're not distracting me. I came here for this, and I'm not going to eat. You got to love focused on the mission. And then look at verse 35. I love verse 35. He's focused on the master. He says this. And he said in verse 34, I am Abraham's servant. Didn't exalt himself in any way. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and he's bragging on his master. I mean, you see the picture here? And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and manservants and maidservants and camels and asses, and he is focused on the master. I will tell you, this is exactly what Jesus did. I've got five verses from John. You've heard them a million times, but a million and one, it won't hurt you. John 4:34, Jesus said, my meat, this is, you know, the woman at the well and the apostles are all puzzled that he's talking to this woman, and they go, we got lunch. And he's like, he answers this, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And they're like, did he get lunch himself? We had to go amongst these Samaritans and put up with these Samaritans, these stinking Samaritans, because they were still highly prejudiced, incorrectly so. And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You'll see this constantly with Jesus. I mentioned this multiple times when the feeding of the 4,000, and he said, go find a desert place. What was more important than getting rest? He had compassion on the multitude. He said, let's feed them. There was a work to be done. Rest is good, but there's a work to be done, and he was focused on the master, focused on the Father. Look at John 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing. That's an amazing statement. This is Jesus speaking. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. You see, can you feel that in, let's just call him Eliezer. Can you feel that in Eliezer? He said, I have been given a commission, I've been given a task, and nothing will get in my way. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven, Jesus speaking, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Two more verses. John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise, let us go hence. He said this, I want the world to know that I love the Father and that the Father gave me commandment. What's he talking about? He's going to the cross. The world will know that I love my Father. The world will know that I will have obeyed my Father because I'm going to the cross. John 17:4. I've glorified thee on the earth, Jesus, talking to the Father. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Paul says that in 2 Timothy. I have finished the work. And you know what? I'm gonna quote it exactly because it wasn't coming to me. I'm gonna 2 Timothy. I know exactly where it's at. So okay, sorry. I'm gonna quote it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I fought a good fight. I knew it wasn't. I finished my fight. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He did the work of God. We've talked about that multiple times. What I love about this servant is he focused on the master. Nothing would distract him. Nothing would get in his way. And that's what will cause us to be the kind of servants where we'll have no regret for eternity. And Sean, I probably shouldn't use that word. So Sean and I talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 today, and where it says that we'll be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, believers, for everything we do, good or bad. And we'll have eternal awareness of our service for the King here this side of heaven. I say this all the time. Your eternal rewards will be differentiated dramatically in eternity, whatever that looks like. You know, I've given you my opinion. What do I think the eternal reward will be? Greater glory to God. If God asked me, said, Steve, what would be the greatest thing I could do for let me glorify you more, if I'm thinking right? So our rewards may be greater glory to God. and it'll all come down and redound to his glory. But what you do here will make a difference eternally. It's not going to be the same. This servant was focused on, what happened? I was like, okay. Now, let's just drop down to verse 49, and let's just see these last few passages. That he gives them this, he lays out this, and look at verse 49. He tells them the same story that he did. I met Rebekah, and now he says this. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or the left. Now, this, I think there's a brilliant phrase in here. And it's how will they respond, not to the question, to the master. You see, when we teach the Bible, don't ask people to respond to your words. Don't ask people to respond to your opinion. You confront them with, how will you respond to this? Do you know what this says? Ask them, what does that say? And then you look at them and go, how are you going to respond to what God's word says? It's far different than somebody thinking it's my opinion versus your opinion. And he asks this. I love this phrase. He says this. He says, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, not with me. You see, they could ignore a servant, couldn't they? But they probably heard of Abraham, you know, even though it was 900 miles, but because it was family. And, you know, they had a family reunion every 120 years. I don't know, because they, you know, lived longer. And I don't know when they had a family reunion. Bad joke, front row. But how will they respond to the master? That is the question for us in this room. When we are confronted by God's word, how will we respond? I will tell you, God speaks to me, I think, more when I preach than anybody else in this room. And I beg God, don't let it just be temporary impact. If it's gone by 9 p.m. tonight, what a waste. How will you respond? How will you respond? Not to Steve Hall. It's easy to reject Steve Hall. How will you respond to the master? How will you respond to God's word? That's the question. I thought it was awesome. And then I want you to see, this is the sneakiness of Laban, verse 55 and 56. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, after that she will go. Knowing what we'll see later in Genesis, and some of you know the story of Laban, do you actually think they would have let them go in 10 days? Ain't no way. And so God gave, Abraham trusted this servant for a reason, didn't he? He had proved himself. He gave him great authority, great privilege. I mean, he was doling out the gold and the silver and the raiment as though they were his. And he was given authority over that. You just got to be, Jesus said this, right? In the Great Commission, all authority is given unto me, and he gave that same authority to his churches. That's amazing. Don't you misunderstand when the Bible says that God will bind what you bind and loose what you loose. It's what churches bind and what churches loose, not me as an individual Christian. But that is amazing authority, is it not? It is amazing authority, and he's given it to us, and we can serve him with great confidence. The commentator said this, and so just the delay. Delay was sought, but I want to show you this because I haven't gotten there yet. Look at his response, verse 56. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, and send me away that I may go to my master. He says, no. Now I'm telling you, it appears that he shows up at the watering well and has one night's sleep. 60 sand traveling days. I'm not a sand fan. I'm just not. Sand gets everywhere. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, 3 weeks later, it's like, oh, I still got some in my ear, right? And it's like, I can't hear anything. And so you travel 900 miles with sand, and I'm done. Yeah, let's hang out here. How about some more of that meat? Take care of me. I gave you guys a bunch of gold. How about serving me? I would never articulate it that way, but you got to love this. This servant came to do a job, not to tarry, not to wait. And he said, don't hinder me. That's boldness. I mean, it feels a little bit bold to me. It's like me showing up and going, Phoebe, leaving tomorrow. Got this guy. He's going to marry you. You're going to show up. Make sure you put your veil on when you get off the camel. And we're going. See you in the morning. Kind of nuts. I show up tonight. Ask you to water my camels. Tell you the story. We're leaving tomorrow. This guy said, absolutely. You know why? He knew God answered his prayer. And I know I was a little critical of the way he prayed. But there's no doubt God was in this. And he doesn't need, I'm not waiting. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. You got to love this. I think he pulled one off on Laban. Laban lost it for a second. I'm so not a fan of Laban. Does the Bible, so just tell you, so you guys tell me secretly, does the Bible talk about Laban in any positive way other than that? I see no redemption for Laban. I'm not expecting to see him in heaven. I would love to. But anyway, so here's how Laban responds. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire to her mouth. They thought for sure. I mean, this has got to be what Laban's thinking. Because I don't trust Laban. Ain't no way Rebecca's going to say yes. We've taught her well enough. There's some milk still in that cow. Get it out of the cow. Right? And so they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Stunning. Stunning. Right? Stunning. Met this guy the day before. Going to travel 900 miles with him. And she said, I will go. And then verse 59, stunning to me that they sent her away. Sent Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And verse 60, so let me give Laban a little bit. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And so they did care for their sister. And then I just finished this. It's Isaac marries Rebekah. Isaac's 40 years old when they get married. It tells us that later. I think it's either 25, 26, 27. I can't remember which chapter tells us. He gets married when he's 40. Remember this, his mother died when he was how old? 37. So this is 3 years later. And then I also tell you this. You all remember how long that Rebecca was barren? 20 years. They didn't have Jacob and Esau until he was 60. 37 when Sarah died, 40 when he marries Rebecca, 60 when she finally conceives. I show you this. Look at verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. But I tell you this, just look back. I want to show you this as well. It is, look at verse 65. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that thou walketh in the field, that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And, you know, it was just a sign of modesty, and submission, and it's a beautiful thing. I just tell you this, that what the world will sell women today is that you have to flaunt yourself in order to get attention. You don't. You do that, and if you dress like the world, you'll draw the wrong men. You'll get the wrong attention. I will tell you this, I don't think there's an ugly girl in our church. I'm just not saying that. I don't think many girls are ugly anyway, but I want you to know that. Y'all are beautiful. You don't need to worry about it. And you can trust the Lord, and you don't have to go and advertise yourself. God will take care of you, right? I'm glad you shower and fix your hair, and I'm happy about that. But I just tell you, if you listen to the world, you're going to think you have to look a certain way, act a certain way, wear a certain clothes, and you'll get the certain wrong guy. What I loved about Rebecca is she, you know, and I know you're saying, well, Steve, oh, that was 4,000 years ago. And a little bit different time. Some of that time was more rebellious than it is even now. But she put a veil on just to have humility, and she trusted in the Lord. Now, Rebecca wasn't perfect either, and the Bible highlights some of that later. But I tell you this, that what we see is this, is just that simple statement in verse 67. And he loved her. He loved Rebecca. He loved her. And husbands, that's all our wives want. That we love them. And he loved her. It seems such an afterthought in after this long chapter, Genesis 24. But you know what? That's what God commands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What a beautiful picture. The question is, this would be worthwhile for you to study. You want to be a servant of the Lord? You want to have zeal for the Lord? You want to be focused on God's work? Genesis 24, whoever this servant was, what a servant that did the master's work. Let's pray.